This is Recovery Radio, and Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Community Center, and they're down on Main Street at 531 South Main, Suite B in Moscow. Phone number is 208-883-1045, and their hours are Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday they're open from 12 to 1 for AA meetings and special events. Their web address is latahrecoverycenter.org, and the email address is latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affect us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, and hope for continuing recovery. And I am Johnny, and I am a grateful recovered alcoholic, and I'm a volunteer at the Recovery Center, and I just love doing this service work because it's what keeps me sober and reasonably happy. And what's your story, lady?
I know, right? I'm Denise, and I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am so happy to be here, and so happy to be in recovery. And I say that about being a grateful believer because that has been so important to me in staying in recovery, is my relationship with God and my understanding and following the best I can with how Jesus treats people and the example that he set here. So...
fabulous.
Yeah. It's fabulous. Been helpful. Because, you know, we have to have something to model, because the way that I was living before was really bad. So I need a mentor like that.
I've heard it described as self-will run riot. Does that sound accurate?
Gosh. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Mm-hmm. So I needed a new way of living. And I found that, and I work on that constantly. So
fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, let's see what's on the LRCC calendar for October.
Yes.
Even though the script says September, I obviously missed that.
Mm.
I was at a staff meeting this morning down at the Recovery Center with Daryl and a whole bunch of other players down there. And the crisis services expansion is really coming along.
Nice.
I mean, I think they're down to clean up. And they've got people that are going to be working on that today. They're still running some telephone wires and computer cables and stuff like that. But they got the front window painted.
Cool.
I took a picture of it. It's
nice.
It's
Looks
absolutely
good.
Gorgeous.
Do you know,
yeah.
Johnny, do you know anything about how, like, staffing, if that's coming along?
I believe the staffing is pretty much under control. Sean is going to be the point person for the Recovery Center to get people admitted and start, well, not admitted, that's probably the
yeah,
long
but
term.
To like
to get people into it,
interviewed kind
and,
of process
and
of
start the evaluation process,
right, evaluation.
And there will be professionals. I haven't been totally read in on who
the
professional
are.
People that are going to be, yeah.
Cool.
I don't know if they're necessarily going to be MDs. I believe a lot of it is because we're dealing with mental health issues,
right. sure.
primarily. Mm-hmm. They're going to be probably like psychologists, psychiatrists,
Perfect.
You know, that the PhD
mm-hmm.
type mm-hmm. professional.
Yeah, that
doctor.
Makes much more sense than what I was thinking. Excellent. Well, that's really
right.
great.
Because they'll be able to, those people are qualified to determine whether somebody needs medical intervention.
Yeah.
Or if it's just, you know, a quiet place to calm down for a little mm-hmm. while to work through a particular issue.
Yeah, and they would know the right kind of questions to ask or things to listen for to
right.
make sure that they're being taken care of well at that facility, or if they need to go to the hospital.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's like the one of the primary functions of the crisis services is that it can be that intermediary stop between a person in crisis
mm-hmm.
and a hospital stay. A,
because
it's really expensive, okay,
mm-hmm.
For the person. And if you know, if the person's in a position where they can't afford to pay,
right,
everybody pays.
Yeah.
I mean,
and it could be unnecessary for that cost to happen, you
right.
know? And so having someone who can decipher the situation well
right.
is good.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm sure there will be times where there's an intervention by law enforcement.
Sure.
And, you know, maybe they just encounter somebody on the street who's really confused or having mm-hmm. a really bad time. They can direct them, which frees up a police officer not having to take mm-hmm. someone to the hospital, mm-hmm. whether, you know, because they have to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, freeing up the legal system and the courts and stuff. Because, I mean, in my mind, I can just see where that can go even further,
exactly.
as in picking up a charge. And that's not a... I shouldn't speak for the legal system, but I'm
right.
just saying that isn't always necessary. And sometimes people just need somewhere to regroup, talk to somebody, and then they get back on track, I would assume.
Right, right. Because, yeah, the legal system has a process it has to follow. And, and it can get messy. It can get messy and complicated and difficult and make things worse, quite
right.
honestly. So, mm-hmm. you know, I talked to some law enforcement and they're like, oh, hallelujah.
Good.
This is going to allow us to deal with other things that are more, which we feel are of a more critical nature in the society, because we have this great opportunity to pass this off to people who are, you know, even though law enforcement is trained to work with, you know, people with mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not as good as a PhD.
That's
there is to it.
And the time and everything, too.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
good.
So mm-hmm. that's going to be good. And we're looking at around 3 weeks out to really have it open and staffed and things going on. But physically inside, I did a little walkthrough with Daryl today. I'm going to help him with some wiring later, maybe, if he still needs me. And... It's awesome. It looks really
cool.
Nice in there. So anyway, so that's what's going on there. And if you want to take a tour, again, Daryl has volunteered himself, Daryl Keim, and between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, stop in or maybe call ahead and see if he's available. And he'd love to give you a tour and talk about it some more. Let's jump into the calendar, which I have right in front of me.
Yeah, we have October's. Excellent.
The new October
mm-hmm.
calendar.
Very good.
Recovery coaching and peer support is every day and also by appointment. Alcoholics Anonymous meets every day at noon. Positive affirmations class is Mondays from 1 to 2. Recovering Parents is going to be on Mondays, October 7th and 14th and 21st, 7/14/21, from 3 to 4. Eat Smart Idaho, which is a nutrition class, is going to be on Monday, October 7th and Monday, October 21st, from 5 to 6. And this is a new one.
Yeah.
And I got to check this out. Vibrational Sound Therapy with Jason Schull of Brain Body Balance. And that's going to be on Monday, October 14th from 6 to 7. So that's in 2 weeks, roughly. But that, I got to find out more about that.
It's been, yeah. I'll keep,
yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't rabbit trail off. I'm just going to.
No, in my mind, I'm just wondering about mm-hmm. that. Okay, Life Skills, Mondays from 5 to 6. Bead Workshop with Janine Leffingwell is going to be on Monday, October 21st from 6 to 7. Recovery Peer Volunteer Meeting is on the last Monday of the month at 6 p.m. There's an AA Big Book Study on Tuesdays at 1:30. Learn How to Play Chess with Steve on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 5 to 6. Narcotics Anonymous, NA, meetings Tuesday and Friday at 5:30. Free meal and snacks sponsored by Good Sam are on Tuesdays at 5:30 until out of food. And on the food front, I think a couple of days a week, Food Not Bombs shows up with a truckload of stuff. So if you're short on food and can't make the food pantry, stop in. And there's also all sorts of unbelievably good sugary snacks. So if you want to spoil yourself a little bit with a miniature cupcake or two, there you go. Addiction Support Group is on Tuesdays from 6:30 till 8. Soupson is coming up. It's a soup tasting event. Tickets are $20. That's going to be on Wednesday, October 23rd from 11 to 2 p.m. at the 1912 Center. And there's different seatings. Call the center. We got more information on it for you. If you're a business and would like to do some sponsorship of the event, opportunities are still available. Contact Daryl Keim at the Recovery Center, 883-1045, and he will help you out and give you more information on that. Positive Affirmations, Wednesday 5 to 6. Recovery International, Mental Health Self-Help, Wednesdays 6:30 to 8. New volunteer orientations are on Thursdays from 4 to 5. The Right for You Writing Support Group, open to all, and I believe hosted by Nancy Casey, the former DJ of this slot.
Yep, she's awesome.
It's Thursdays 5 to 6:30 is the lab. And first and fourth Thursdays from 7 to 8:30. NAMI, North Central Idaho Family Support Program, is the second Thursday of the month from 7 to 8:30. The All Recovery Meeting is Fridays 5 to 6. Young Adult Addiction Support Group is Fridays 7 to 8. And then, of course, on Fridays, Movie and Game Night. It's from 6:30 to 9, and you can check the website for listings of what the movie's going to be. Veterans Coffee and Bitch Session is at the American Legion Cabin on Howard Street. And right now they're showing first and third Saturdays at 1 p.m. Maybe if I get a call back from Amber, I can update that, because I know they've been jumping kind of around on things for a lot of reasons. Because it's still getting going, but we'll go with first and third Saturday at 1 p.m.
You can always call the Recovery Center, I would assume, and find out.
Yeah, that's right. Ask for Amber.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Learn How to Crochet and Calm Your Mind is on the fourth Saturday of the month from 10 to 12. And Adult Children of Alcoholics, Women's Meetings are Sundays from 6 to 7:30. And classes and groups are always free or at cost and open to all. And a little asterisk star at cost. As of this time, there has never been a charge for any meeting or class. We throw that in there just in case someday down the road, maybe, sort of,
something
they
happens.
Might have something special going on that we have to pay somebody to come in and do, and in which case we just recover our costs. So
there you go.
And a heads up, Food Not Bombs calendar for 2019, our good friends at Food Not Bombs. October through November 15th, we are into the warm winter drive, collecting scarves, hats, gloves, and coats for those in need. And this is not just kids, this is adults. Excuse me. I gave my cat a bath this morning and I'm still coughing up hairballs.
And he's got a hat that says Dog Dad on it.
Yeah, I know. All right, I gave my dog a bath, but that sounds weird. So it's for all ages. So you got gently used coats, a scarf you don't wear anymore, some gloves, or you know.
So are you saying that this is for all sizes of children and adults that you can donate for?
Everybody.
Excellent.
Yep, it's for everybody.
Good.
And then in November, from the 15th to the 23rd, they're going to do a Christmas gift collection, a donation of gifts for children of the Palouse who could use a happy holiday, and parents who may not be able to afford it. And if you want more information on that, you can call our friend Jackie at 208-669-3036. And again, that's Jackie W. She's awesome. Cool. I see her all over town, right? My wife thinks I'm having an affair with her.
Just because she's running around gathering, you know, backpacks and diapers and coats and everything.
And food to help from Safeway.
And food.
The woman has the energy of 12 4-year-olds. It's amazing. I don't know how she does it. But thanks a lot, Jackie. We love you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. And our topic today, as we are hosting our guest, our guest name is Noni. Oh, it's Nun. I'm sorry.
I wanted everyone to laugh about that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Waka waka. But it's just Denise and I in the studio today,
which is
great. And unless somebody, magically pops in, I thought we'd talk about miracles.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think we talk about miracles enough.
That works for me.
And I mean, throw out the Webster's definition of miracle.
And series, because I got the same thing.
Yeah.
When I looked it up.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Just to be technical, since I was going to, talk about it on the air, I figured.
There you go.
Just better make sure.
See, we do our homework
here.
We do. I know this sounds like we're just flying by the seat of our pants, which is mostly true, rigorous honesty and all that.
Yeah.
But, definition of a miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of a divine agency. And just when I thought we couldn't get more politically correct, because we can't say God, and
I do.
Yeah, I know, or Jesus, or Buddha, or Allah, or any of that, because somebody will, I'm sure, be offended.
But I think we could talk about our own thoughts and feelings, right?
Absolutely, we can.
We will
suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune if somebody disagrees with us.
I definitely won't ever say that anyone has to think what I think or believe what I believe or anything. Yeah, that's because it doesn't work that way.
No.
I honestly believe it doesn't work that way, and it's about what I think or believe, what works for me.
It's your relationship with your higher power.
Yep, and I can't decide.
Or your divine agency.
Right, and I don't want to have any opinion about how someone else's whatever should be. So.
Yeah, it's just...
Or if they should have a whatever.
If the federal government comes out with a Department of Divine Agencies, that's when I'll panic. But until then, I'm just going to stay cool and stay below the radar there. So I suppose I'll kick this off.
Sure.
I mean, the big miracle that happened in my life was the fact that I was able to stop drinking alcohol. And here's how I qualify it as a miracle. I had I got drunk the first time, I think I was about 8 years old at a family function, and I loved the taste of the champagne because it was a housewarming, and so it was champagne everywhere, and my brother-in-law, rest his soul, thought it was cute that I was going around sipping off people's champagne, so he gave me my own little can of it, and I was sipping away, and it just got blotto, and I loved it. I loved how it made me feel. And so, I pursued that feeling, as it says in the book, right up to the gates of hell. And I knew for a long time that it was not good for me. It was ruining my life. Mm-hmm. It was ruining my health. It was literally threatening my life. And I tried every kind of self-help book, religious affiliation, mantras. Anything you can think of, asserting willpower beyond, you know, even
to make some goals.
EST training, for those of you who remember that. I mean, and everything weird in between. I tried replacing it with other things, other drugs. And I always came back to the alcohol because it was always there for me and it always worked until the point where it really stopped working. It no longer made me happy. Every drunk was followed by even greater depression and just, you know, bad things happening. And I woke up in the middle, I've told this story before, I woke up in the middle of the night, reached for a bottle of vodka that was under my bed and realized there was not going to be enough in there to get me through to the liquor store got open, and that I would be shaking and violently ill. And I laid back in the bed and literally said out loud, God, I can't live like this anymore. I need help. And I drank what was left of that vodka. And when I came to, because I wasn't really sleeping at that point, I was just passing out for periods of time. When I came to that morning, I told my wife, this is it, I'm gonna be here, I'm gonna be sick. She said whatever, because she pretty much given up on me at that point. I'd, you know, sworn off with, you know, hand on the Bible and, you know, lots of, you know, yelling and screaming, and had just continuously not followed through on it. And she's kind of said whatever, and I detoxed myself for 2 days, you know, shaking, hallucinating, you know, all that good stuff, which I absolutely do not recommend you do, right, because it can kill you.
There are detox places.
Yeah, and they're available, and they can get you through it with medication, and you don't have to do what I did. But I did what I did because I'm an idiot. And after that was on a Monday, and by Wednesday, I was to the point where I could actually eat solid food, and I was still a little shaky, but my head was clearing up a little bit. And what I had seen work for my mother, who had been an alcoholic her whole life and got sober with the help of Alcoholics Anonymous, I went to an AA meeting. And that was and has been a continuing miracle in my life. The first miracle being that I was actually, after asking God, an entity, you know, I call it now the God of my non-understanding, which I didn't understand, didn't trust, didn't even like a lot, because I had fired God a long time before because it wasn't working with my program well, you know, to follow Christian ethics, which I had been raised up in the Lutheran church and gone through the confirmation and all that great stuff. My parents were very involved, and yeah, that crap wasn't any fun, so it wasn't working for me. But, you know, that when I came to that morning, that I was filled with this resolve that I just didn't have to drink, even though I knew what was right in front of me. There had been occasions where I was not able to get alcohol for a day or two, and I knew I was going to be miserable. I had no idea how miserable at this point, but I knew I was going to be sick, and I was able to face it and move through it. That was the first miracle. Shortly thereafter was that miracle of standing outside an AA meeting and looking at people inside, laughing and joking, having a good time, which I could not understand how anyone could be happy, as miserable as I was at that point. And just not having the ability, the physical ability, I was like literally paralyzed. I could not go and open the door. And a man looked out and looked at me and came outside, asked me if I was looking for an AA meeting. And I said, yeah. I was able to spit out yes, And he said, come on inside. And he put his hand on my shoulder and literally guided me through the doorway into the room. And so there was a miracle of someone else working in my life
the first time.
Or as I like to call it, God working through somebody else to get me through that door.
Yeah.
You know?
Because that's what you needed. That's exactly what you needed at the time.
Right.
And there wasn't really going to be any other way that you were going to walk through the door. So.
Yeah, I may have just stood there or jumped in my car and driven to the liquor store. I mean, I don't know what would have happened. Mm-hmm. All I know is what did happen, and happened exactly the way it was supposed to, you know, with no input from me, no influence by me over that situation. It was purely that man observing somebody shaking like a dog poop in peach pits outside in the dark looking in.
Right.
And he knew what that was. He had probably been there.
Probably.
You know? And so that was my big miracle, my starting down the road. And I've seen and been part of and been used in miraculous ways many times since then, which I'd love to talk about because you know me. I love talking about me.
Well.
But why don't you talk about me for a while?
Well, I was going to say... We could take a break before I talk, but but that is kind of the thing, though, is because those things, those moments where we get to help other people because we understand, because we've been through it, is really great because it makes it, for at least for me, feel like there's something of value that came out of all of that pain and suffering, and that is that we understand and can have compassion for what other people are going through, and that we can recognize ways that we can make some little time or, you know, little steps that we can do to be able to help someone, whether it's just sitting with them or it's helping them through a door or giving them information or listening or, you know, just sharing information that can make a big difference for them. And, you know, Johnny, you've talked about some friends that you have that you've been friends with for a really long time and, you know, couple that you talk to often, you know, one in particular you talk to every day. So, you know, so there's even up into those relationships where you're actively involved in someone's life. You're helping each other along. Yeah. So that you're not alone, you know, and you understand. That's important.
Yeah, no, it's vitally important for me. And just something to think about while we listen to some music, but it's for me, miracles, it's not like, okay, I see a miracle coming. It's more like it's always in hindsight where I'm like, my God, that was a miracle. How did that ever happen?
Right.
You know, and it manifests itself in a million different ways, but you know, it's a matter of if I'm looking for it or not.
Yeah.
And it's never too late. And hey, wouldn't you know it, I've got a song queued up called It's Never Too Late by Steppenwolf. Why don't we listen to that and come back in a couple minutes.
You're listening to KRFP's Moscow Pullman Recovery Radio.
Shout as though you were a man possessed from deep inside. it's much too late to start again, to try and find a little bliss. So when you're a woman and a child, you release your bitterness. You drift apart some more each day.
Was a little bit of Steppenwolf. It's never too late, because it's never too late to start all over again. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP, the coolest station in the nation. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. I'm Johnny, she's Denise, and today we're talking about miracles. And I've prattled on long enough. Denise, save me.
So at CR, they say, don't quit before the miracle happens. And I think that that's definitely true. If you haven't seen some miracles before getting into recovery, you sure will see some after you get into recovery. And it is pretty cool. Like you were saying before the break, there's things that just happen unexpectedly that really blow your mind, and it can really make your head spin. And I would say that since I've been in recovery, there has just been so many things that I wouldn't have expected to happen. And it's kind of, I agree with people that share that it's like God goes ahead of them and makes the way, makes the road. And I definitely think that's true, because as I look back at each, you know, area of progress, I can just see the way paved, you know, in each area, you know, even just to where I am today, being on the radio show, being a part of different things in the recovery community. I see all the steps that it took to get here, and it just makes me smile, warms my heart, gives me a lot of hope. And so that's just what was coming to mind now. Getting clean definitely felt like a miracle. I would say that there was so much hopelessness during addiction and things like that. And going into it, I didn't really even understand how it was going to happen, you know, what the process was going to look like. Luckily, I had a group of people that were helping me out, as many of you know, because I've spoken about it. I'm a drug court graduate of Lake Tall County. And so there was a whole program provided and a whole support group of people to help me walk through, early recovery.
Right.
Which was really difficult. And there were a lot of things set up to make it to where I was accountable for staying clean and doing things. It's quite a program. And the reason that it is because most of us that get put on that program have really been going about things the wrong way. We're really deep into addiction. We're using hard drugs. We're making really, or at least for myself, I shouldn't say for other people. I was using really hard drugs, making very poor decisions. And so, and for many years, like a good decade. And so this program was really right for me. And, you know, everything from having counselors to UAs every day. So I get like a urine analysis stuff like that. And those would be random and stuff. So, and it's a 2-year program. I've heard some people get to graduate in about a year and a half, but I think the 2 years worked well for me. And so it was interesting because I look back at all of the different kinds of areas in my recovery, even into currently what I'm involved in. With CR and the radio show, and I can just see how everything's just really, you know, these stepping stones so that I can share the miracle of getting into recovery, the miracle of turning my life around, and that it is possible that you can come from honestly, you know, using really hard drugs, intravenous using, and really being 100% lost and hopeless, and so I can now, you know, be a part of these different things and share my story.
Yeah. So the requirements to participate in the drug court program and mental health court are many and varied. I know one of them is that you need to get into a support group, AA, NA, or something like that. Right. What drove you? What made you choose a Christian-based recovery system? Where did that come from?
Okay, yeah. So I was in, I was a participant in drug court for about a year, and I had always believed in God and in Jesus, and I grew up that way with my grandma taking me to church for years as I was a kid, although I would say from teenage years into, you know, more currently, I hadn't attended church.
The rebellious years.
Well, yeah, you know, just kind of getting away from that. And a lot of people speak really badly about church organizations and church people, and that's kind of a shame. I understand where some of that comes from.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reasons why people say that, because they've experienced really horrible things. And so, you know, that legalistic stuff can be really rough. But the cool thing was is that my husband decided to go to the church that I was thinking about going to. He got up one Sunday morning and he went and attended while the girls and I were still asleep. And that pretty much changed everything. He listened to the pastor there, and it just really, I guess I can't really speak for him, but he wanted to go back. So the following week we went back, and it just so happens that the church that we attend also hosts Celebrate Recovery, which I had attended earlier on while I was a drug court participant. So
this was actually during
it was halfway into my program that we started attending church on Sundays. And then last year I decided to take the step study, specifically the step study at Celebrate Recovery, and I finished that after 6 months. And then I was asked if I wanted to be a leader there, and I said yes. And so, and I've been really just excited, it's the only night of the week. I was just saying this last week because it's starting to get cold, cold and dark earlier. The only night of the week that I will go back out of the house after dinner. I mean, you know, for some things, quick run to the grocery store, maybe for the kids for chocolate chip cookies. But all in all, like I don't usually like getting back out after a long day of work. But this I look very forward to, and it's just been a really big positive part of my week.
Yeah,
it's been good for me.
You know, what's funny is I've heard it out of my own mouth a couple of times a day and out of your mouth at least a couple of times a day, the miracle of the word yes. And I'll qualify that. I would, when I was heavy into my addiction, you know, I would say, oh, I'll be there to help with this, or I'll come and do that, or I'll be there at 8, and none of that mm-hmm. ever happened. And if somebody asked me to do something and it was going to interfere with my drinking, I got this other thing, you know, I got ice cream in the car, I got to go, you know, just blowing people off. Since I've been in recovery, people will ask me to do things, and my first instinct is like, I don't want to do that. And then out of my mouth, for no reason, comes that damn word, you know, yeah, I'll be there. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, 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 yes. Suddenly I'm obligated to all this stuff I don't want to do. And, you know, it's like this hunting trip. Folks, I'm going to confess on the air right now. I killed a deer when I was 16 years old, and I've never gotten over it. Went because I thought it was going to be a great adventure, which it was, and I enjoyed being with the adults, my brother-in-law, who's just, you know, I idolized him in a lot of ways, big, tough, burly guy and his big, tough, burly buddies, and they farted out loud and told dirty jokes. And, you know, I just, that was, man.
It was for the experience and the people you're going with, huh?
Right, exactly. Mm. Well, and I actually thought I was going to be a great hunter. I love shooting. I love going to the range, doing all that stuff, and shooting at paper and clay targets and all that stuff. And when I shot that deer, and all that just went into the back. Oh, my God. So now I go. You know, a friend of mine invited me. He's a good friend of mine, lives on the west side now. I don't get a chance to see him as much as I used to. And oddly enough, another friend that's coming along with him is in the program now. And in a left-handed way, helped out with that. And so I'm going to take my rifle and, you know, dust it off and clean the cobwebs out of the barrel and take my 40-year-old bullets, and I'll put one in the chamber just to show I'm serious. And I'll hike with that 8-pound son of a gun up and down the mountains with my friends and hope to God I'm not the one who gets the shot. You know, I just hope it's one of them.
Right.
But I got this opportunity, and even though I have an obligation to this radio program every week, I'm going to have to go and meet them on Wednesday afternoon so I can find my way into the mountains with them, where they're going to camp. And I'm going to abandon Denise here at the station because I said yes. Yeah, your okay. cord's getting flaky on
okay,
me.
Okay, I'm not
no,
gonna,
you're good now.
Good, okay, good. I was going to say.
Play with your hair
I'm
instead.
Pretty sure that I didn't answer your question, though. You said, why did I choose...
celebrate recovery.
Yeah, why did I choose Christian-based something? So I think that I always knew if I was going to do the steps that there was going to need to be a God component. Because I'll be honest. So in mm-hmm. my drug court program, I did all the classes that they have you do. There's cognitive self-change and moral stuff and anger management. And there's a women's group and a couple other ones. I mean, it's quite a thing. It's a lot. You go every day pretty much through the week. But I did not do the step study, the NA step study. I attended NA, but I didn't mm-hmm. do the step study. And so this last year was the first time that I actually went through the steps, and I did it through, went through it biblically. And for some reason, I just kind of knew that was going to be the way that I was going to need to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I went through the steps in AA because it's what I related to. Mm-hmm. And although there is, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous is defined as a spiritual program of action. Mm-hmm. a complete psychic change needs to take place for somebody to recover. And a component of that is a belief in a higher power. And because of my poor relationship with church organizations, I did try to go back to the church after I got sober, and I did attend for a while, and all those things that made me not like it before were still there, and I was not prepared to, you know, go back into that organization with those kind of hang-ups towards it.
And, and I've heard about that. It's like spiritual wounding, and it can be really, really difficult.
Right.
And that's kind of the thing. I mean, I was going through where we're doing a lot of the things that are in the steps in the classes that I was taking. And I think it just took to where I am. Is it working now?
Yeah.
Took to where I am in my recovery to be able to go through the whole steps.
Right.
In this in an NAAA or CR way.
Right.
Yeah.
And I have and I am you know, I consider myself a closet Christian. I have a very close friend who I grew up with, who I kind of 12-stepped and helped him get into a recovery program, even though he's been sober for a long time. He's basically a fundamental, I would say fundamentalist Christian, and he's very well-read in the Bible, and we talk about biblical things related to recovery and life and everything else, and I consider him my mentor when it comes to that, because I've forgotten or burned the brain cells out from a lot of that, probably more likely just intently forgotten. Drinking to forget is sometimes works, unfortunately.
Aging stuff will get to us too.
I understand through his translation of biblical stories and whatnot, you know, it's very helpful to me, and I appreciate it. And you know, who knows, someday I may wander into an organized religion and find a home there. But for the meantime, I'm just not going to give up on God, and and I'm going to keep working with that God of my non-understanding, because who of us really understands God?
And I just also wanted to mention that one of the other things is that there's just, you know, each individual has their own pathway in recovery, and that happens in whatever order it happens in. So, you know, however it works. And that's another thing that's really cool about the Recovery Center, the Latal Recovery Center, is that they have many different ways, and they also have lots of information as to what different things you can choose.
Really,
community.
One of the things that really struck me that, you know, I it took me a long time to really understand it, is the way the Latah Recovery Center works is you go in there and you tell them what you need. You don't, they don't say, okay, you're an alcoholic, you need to go to the AA meeting, here's a, it's, okay, you're having, you say you have a problem with alcohol, what do you want to do about that?
Yeah.
You know,
you get to make
there's,
a choice.
There's AA meetings, there's self-help things, there's medical intervention, there's all, you know, all these things available to you. What do you want to try?
And they're familiar with, you know, all those different things. You could go in there, probably give them a description, and they could be like, well, that sounds like maybe this, this, or this, you know, so.
Right. Exactly. So we can, you know, we're able to help you design your program. And that's what it really is. And it's peers. So it's people that have experienced miracles in their own lives that brought them there.
Exactly.
And it's all volunteer. There are a few paid positions, but, you know, you got to have bookkeepers. You got to have, you know, paper pushers and, and people that are trained and qualified to handle certain tasks.
And it is good to have people who involved in things that haven't experienced it, quote, themselves. I mean, they may or may not have had a family member, but I think it's good to have all different kinds of people involved in things so that we can, so that in general, you can get different perspectives. too.
Right.
So I think that's healthy. That's good that you guys, that they do it the way that they do with having members that are in recovery and then people who haven't personally. You know?
Yeah.
And there's, you know, I think that's good how they have it set up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Infinitely helpful. Yeah, it was wise. Well, and a lot of really smart people, far smarter than I am, put their heads together and came up with these, you know, the format and I got an introduction to the legalistic parts of things that have to do with it. And I was having a conversation today with one of the board members, and it was like, oh my God, we really, you know, there are so many lines that can be crossed and lead to litigation and all sorts of madness, you know, where I come from is I'd be honest, I share my story and let the chips fall where they may. Not in a business setting.
Right.
I mean, I understand that from, you know, I own my own business for many years, and you have to be aware of you know, your obligations and things you can and cannot do, and it's oof.
Yeah, and that's really good that that there are people that understand how all that works, so that we can have a little guidance in that area. I could say definitely that I could use a little guidance in that area. Even my son was over yesterday, and he's a business major, and he was telling me some stuff because I'm a supervisor at my work now. And he was telling me some stuff that was really interesting about how to supervise people, you know? And I was like, well, ding, dang, that's great. All right. Yeah. I'm going to think on those couple ideas, and then I'm going to hit you up next week.
There you go.
You know, I love the fact that we have many different kinds of people in the world. It's really good.
Yeah, it is. It is good.
Well.
And you know what else is good? The show is good for the day.
Yeah, we're about done.
We're out of time.
Yep.
But it's been fun talking about miracles, you know, if you've experienced them, send us an email and tell us about it.
Yeah.
You can email us at lrccrecoveryradio@gmail.com, lrccrecoveryradio@gmail.com. And if you poke around, look for LRCC Recovery Radio on Facebook, you might find our page there. And you can always, drop a line to the Recovery Center at LatahRecoveryCenter@gmail.com if you have any comments or questions or suggestions for things you might want to hear on Recovery Radio. That would be awesome, too. You could be the first. People seem to be shy about this. I don't know why. I don't know anything more anonymous than the interweb. So.
Right.
Hey, it is what it is. But thank you, Denise.
Thank you, Johnny.
For being my partner, and I will be gone next week, so good luck.
Yes, thank you.
God bless.
I'm going to do my best.
Sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.